This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 8:39. It's Idaho Talks Live, and in our Next Title studio this morning, we have a special guest. Associate Athletic Director for football at Boise State University, and that is Brad Lorando. How are you, Brad?
Morning, Chris. I'm doing great.
You have there's a big push for season tickets going on right now, which is a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're May 1st rolls around here in a couple days, and that means we're 4 months from kickoff of the season, which also means that's a key period for us on season ticket renewals as well as priority seating and premium seating deadlines. So that May 1st deadline is coming up. So for those of you that are season ticket holders looking to still renew by Monday, we'd love to have you get that done for both priority seating and your renewals. And then we've also got some things planned in May a little later on for those that may want to look at new season tickets with an open house on May 24th, mm-hmm. being able to come out and select your own seats.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it really brings in a lot of people down to our Hall of Fame there at the southwest corner of the stadium. We mark the seats that are open. They can kind of go out, decide, you know, hey, I want to sit in this one. Oh, maybe I'll test drive this one over here in this next section. And then allows them to pick seats that haven't been to that point renewed or sold. And so we're looking forward to the month of May to see where we are on our season ticket push. Again, it's 4 months out from the start of the season on May 1, so still time to continue to sell season tickets. But this is a good barometer of how we're doing that way and also building up the excitement, continuing to build the excitement for the season.
Opening game of the season is going to be Troy. Now, have they been here before? They never have.
Troy has never been here before. Yeah. They're also the first Sun Belt Conference team that ended a season ranked in the top 25. So last year, they picked up a bowl win, ended the season ranked in the top 25. They went 10-3, have a very good quarterback, running back coming back. So they're a team that is really one of those that are under-the-radar teams going into the 2017 season and will be an extremely quality opponent to open the season with.
What are some other good games that we've got coming up?
Well, I mean, the home schedule really looks very solid this year, as well as the road schedule. It might be the toughest schedule, you know, in school history when you look at it top to bottom. But at home, you've got Troy. The second home game is against New Mexico. So, again, you're talking about a Mountain Division opponent that comes in that you have to start the conference playoff third week of the season. Then Virginia out of the ACC comes in. Bronco Mendenhall, who coached for a long time at BYU, he just can't seem to escape coming back to the Blues. So a chance for him to bring Virginia into the state. So an ACC team coming in. And then conference-wise, you've got Air Force, you've got Wyoming, and then you've also got Nevada. And we haven't played Nevada in a couple years. That's always an intense rivalry. And then, of course, Wyoming and Air Force with what happened last year in conference. Right. Those are games that will certainly be circled on the schedule. So a nice home schedule rounding it out with 6 games.
There are advantages to having season tickets.
Yeah.
What are they?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, you know, you get the opportunity to be in the same seat every single game. You also save a little bit off the total cost of a ticket if you're buying it game to game. There are certain perks, like earlier this year in March, we had a meet and greet with the team, so we'll continue to do events like that. A family plan, for example, last year was about $790. This year it's down about $100, down to $699. Wow. So we're trying to, you know, account for families bringing in mom, dad, the kids, all that. And we know that there are going to be some games with late start times, so we want to make sure that it becomes affordable for families. This year, the first 2 games of the season we know are going to start at 6 o'clock, or actually the second and third, the New Mexico and Virginia. Still waiting on Troy, but we're very hopeful we'll have at least one afternoon kickoff time.
If somebody's out there right now and they really hadn't thought about season tickets, you know, because it's the springtime, they hadn't thought about it yet, What is the best thing that they can do right now?
Well, right now, the best thing that they can do is literally probably call into our ticket office or come down to our ticket office. You can also go to broncosports.com under tickets. Look at a map. There are all kinds of sections. There are price categories. You can get a great seat even in the south end zone that's reserved. It looks right at the video board. Or if you want general admission, north end zone seating, or anywhere between the zeros and the 50s. Best thing is we have ticket representatives that can talk to them about what's within their budget, where do they want to sit, and how many tickets do they want, and how they can do that. So they can call our ticket office at 426-4737, or like I said, go to broncosports.com.
If you have a kid out there who is maybe a future Bronco, mm-hmm. There are some camps.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a big camp circuit. And in fact, June is a huge month from a football standpoint for us that way from camps. We have a youth camp that is June 5th through the 7th, so right when school ends, before you get out on all your summer vacations, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, June 5 through 7. It runs from 8:30 to noon. It's for ages 6 to 13, really open to boys and girls. It's a non-contact camp, shorts, T-shirt, shoes. We teach them the basic skills of how to throw, how to run, how to pass, how to tackle, all those things, but we're not actually bringing kids to the ground, backpedal, and then we play Bronco ball games. Our camp website is Boise State Football Camp. Again, BoiseStateFootballCamp.com. Real easy to remember, but we love to have the kids out there. Usually we'll get about 500 of them. Our players actually coach the team. Our coaches work with them in individual drills. And then a couple other high school camps after that later in June. So June, a busy month for us. One other thing I was going to hit is June 1st. I know you can't come to it, Chris. You might be able to drive by and check it out, but the women's clinic, we call it Helmets and Heels.
Gotcha.
So for all the Bronco lady fans out there, June 1st, it's a Thursday night. We have a clinic at our football center as well as on the blue. We'll be doing drills, meet and greet with the coaches, player panels. Our players will be there, actually get to go through some of the drills that our guys do, and then a lot of social time and interaction and talk some football.
In the past, I've heard that's really fun, and it's been well attended, too.
It has. We've had a great time, our coaches being able to interact, our players, and then the ladies just being able to dig deeper and find out more about football. This isn't just football 101. I mean, we'll get into some of how we call plays, what drills are out there, let them go through that, and so we're real excited about that. Again, you can get those tickets through Bronco sports.com.
And one more time, I mean, season tickets,
yep,
available right now.
So season
now
tickets,
yep, now would be the best time.
Best time to get them right now. The deadline for those of you that are wanting to get your season tickets reserved is May 1st. But again, we'll work with you, make sure we get a chance to get those renewed. And then an open house on May 24th. Summer camps, go to BoiseStateFootballCamp.com. We've got that youth camp June 5th, 6th, and 7th. And then our women's clinic is June 1st down at the football center as well.
Brad, thanks for coming by. We appreciate all the information, and go
awesome.
Broncos.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Brad Lorando, Associate Athletic Director for Football at Boise State University. It's 8:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Hey, welcome back to the show.
Well, you too.
Well, actually, I'm not coming back to the show. This is my first time ever on this show.
Well, today.
8:51 at 670 KBOI. David Allen in for Paul J. Schneider. Under the weather, even as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
While he's still over the moon about everything.
Exactly.
It's Open Phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Thanks to Brad Lorando for coming in and talking about all good things Boise State.
We can talk about what you would like to talk about this morning, if there's been something that's happened this week in the state of Idaho, or something that's happened in the nation, the world, you know, in your life, something that you want to discuss, we will discuss it with you. It's Open Phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-KBOI. You can also send us an instant message. It's easy to do. Just go to our website, KBOI.com, and there are instructions there on how to do it.
And I will say the same thing I say every week when I'm working Open Phones with you, Chris.
What's that?
Talk to us about anything, because we know everything.
Okay, I'm not going to go ahead and second that, but...
Oh.
I understand your, you know, where that came from.
You know, we can at least pretend that we know everything.
Well, that's true.
And I know we have a caller, but I'm not logged on here, so I don't I don't know who it is. Who is it, Todd Fundy?
Keith of Eagle.
Keith and Eagle, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
We are doing very well. Thank you very much.
Hey, I just kind of wanted to bring up a little something that I heard over the week that Butch Otter was kind of complaining that he didn't get all the money he wanted for education that he had asked for. And I would just like to give kudos out to the legislators for not giving that to him, because he was going to use it for training principals and supervisors on how to hold teachers accountable. So my assumption is if supervisors and principals at this time in their career to hold those positions don't know how to train or don't know how to hold teachers accountable by now, then they are part of the problem.
So this it would have been money for just more administration, which is probably not what teachers would say they need.
Exactly, because my son is a senior in school, and he comes home all the time saying that they don't even have enough money to print worksheets in class and that he has to print them at home.
Yeah, I don't understand sometimes the allocation of money, and I know that I'm not there and I'm not in the meetings and I don't see the spreadsheets, but It seems like it sometimes to me, my perception is it's a little top heavy. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, I think it is too. And, you know, every year we're giving him more and more money towards education, and it just seems like he wants more and more. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that his reign is coming to an end.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate you checking in today. Thanks.
It's a term. It's not technically a reign.
336-3700-1-800-529-5264. Let me get Kevin in Boise here before we take the break. Kevin, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Good, sir. Good morning, gentlemen. I am just calling to announce and make sure everybody knows about the rally for Boise State, Saving Boise State Wrestling Team, tomorrow at 12 o'clock to 1 p.m. at the State Board of Education building at 650 West State.
650 West State Street, okay.
Right behind the state capitol.
Right.
Have you gotten any indication, Kevin, that any of this is going to do any good, or does it look like it might come back, or is this just a good way for everyone to see that wrestling is very popular and it shouldn't have gone away, and it's a good way for people to vent their frustration with the situation?
Well, yes to all those.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, it is. Well, 15,000 people, approximately 15,000 people have already vented on petition-wise.
Yes.
Stating their name. So there's a lot of support around Boise Valley, the state, Intermountain Rest, for the sport of Boise State Wrestling. And it's come down to basically one person's decision, one person's ego on this. And I spoke with a state senator the other day, and he knows he has told me that there are legislators, there are higher-up people that are very upset with this decision, the decision itself and how it was handled in the first place. And so, no, we have not quit. We're staying with this. We're proposing solutions, and that's what we want, is to be heard for our solutions that we are proposing.
Kevin, we've talked about this a couple of times, and I know that you're aware that they've said, no, it's a done deal. There is going to be no change from this point. But do you think that there is a possibility of making a change, especially with a rally like this?
There's always a possibility. When you're a wrestler, there's always a possibility. They said the same thing to the people at Cleveland State. They said the same thing to the people at Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
Final. Done deal.
So you can be way behind in points and still pin the other guy, right?
Yes. Good analogy, Chris. But
thank you.
give the information real quick.
You're suddenly a wrestler.
Yeah, give the information here real quick one more time, Kevin. Tomorrow at noon.
Tomorrow at noon at the State Board of Education building. We're going from 12 to 1. And it's at 650 West State Street.
650 West State. All right, Kevin, thanks for checking in, man. Good luck tomorrow.
And again, that's
thank
right
you,
gentlemen. Thank you. It's right behind the Capitol building.
So yeah.
Easy to find.
Hope it's good weather and that a lot of folks come out. I mean, it seemed to me that this decision came out of nowhere. Like,
it's just because we didn't know anything about it until it actually happened because they didn't, I don't think they wanted there to be a lot of protest, you know, until they were able to say, it's all over now.
Well, it worked out for them then.
Yeah.
Didn't want a lot of protests. It worked out for them.
Maybe we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah. 9 o'clock news coming up next. Then Rick Worthington has the local update. Chris and I will be back after that for Open Phones Friday on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. I sent Paul J. away. I had been off the air for 4 days, so I needed more of me time.
Mm-hmm.
David Allen in, Chris Walton, odd with 1D. It's Open Phones Friday, seriously. It's the 100th day of Trump's presidency. There has to be something about that. There has to be something about him saying he misses his old life and being president is harder than he thought it was going to be. Come on, Rich, where are you? Hey, there he is! Yes!
Well,
just as I say something, he's on the air.
Yeah, I mean, if you have an assessment after 100 days, then feel free to call us and let us know about it. Or if you think that 100 days is not a fair amount of time to assess somebody, call and explain why that is.
Pete Peterson! You're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Well, I can't talk as fast as you do, but I'm well.
Nobody can.
Well, President Trump's 100th day, it's for those of us who attempt to do political humor, it's like the clouds have parted, the sun is shining on us. My only question is, where's Mark Twain when we need him? On a slightly more serious note, my friend Dr. Wheeler has a plan to make the upcoming Caldwell School Board election a watershed moment in American political history, with a 95% voter turnout in an election that usually has at tops 18%.
Wow.
So he's had me create a Facebook page called A Vendetta for Caldwell, and we're using symbolism from the movie V for Vendetta, the Guy Fawkes mask, and the symbol V.
Gotcha.
And we're just asking people to get a white piece of paper, make a V with a black magic marker or whatever color you like, take a selfie, and post it on A Vendetta for Caldwell. We'd like to start with selfies from in front of all 44 Idaho County courthouses, or if you're in Twin Falls, in front of Shoshone Falls, and then gradually go worldwide with some of my comedy friends in London taking a selfie in front of Big Ben holding a V. The Guy Fawkes masks are optional. So
they're hard to find around here.
They are. We need to make Guy Fawkes Day a holiday in the U.S. In November, we don't have a good holiday where you get drunk and set off fireworks.
Unless Thanksgiving goes horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong. And also, one additional item to kind of set us apart from other people, I asked Dr. Wheeler, what can be a trademark? It needs to be cheap, and it needs to be something that says Idaho. And, of course, he came up with the idea of Hunter Orange Carhartt stocking caps.
Perfect.
And he had me place a small order with Carhartt. Their headquarters is in Dearborn, Michigan. I ordered 50. And
Dearborn, Michigan?
Okay. They sell for $9.99. Mm-hmm. They gave me a 10% discount, so they'll cost us $9. We're selling them for $5.76 cash. We actually lose a little over $4 a hat.
But you'll also take donations, right?
No. We lose $4 a hat, but we hope to make up for it in volume.
All right, Pete. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate it. Have a good day.
I've actually heard worse business models than that.
I think that was Zamfir, the master of the pan flute in the background, too.
Could have been. I like it. Thanks, Pete.
So. Worked out well for
appreciate
us.
The call.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless for Open Phones Friday.
David of Boise, not you, another
no,
one says,
no, not this time.
Why in the, I'll paraphrase here,
thank
heck,
you.
And who in the heck would leave a $20,000 gun in a vehicle, even for a second, not to mention what the obligation to the owner of the gun is to keep a gun like that secured so it does not get into the wrong hands, which is, it now is in the wrong hands, and who knows who is going to end up with it. The owner should be fined or jailed for allowing this to happen. The person who stole it should be carefully interrogated to find out what the true intentions were in stealing a gun like that. It's obviously set up to be a sniper rifle. You don't go shoot whistle pigs with a $20,000 gun. Not that there would be anything wrong with that.
Wonder if he realized it was a $20,000 gun, or he just was a gun, and so he wanted to take the gun.
Yeah, or it was just available.
I always worry, even when I'm in my car, I don't even want to leave like a pair of gloves out where anybody can see them.
I've had stuff stolen out of my vehicle on four different occasions, and
should get a different vehicle then.
Believe it or not, well, you know, it's actually three different vehicles.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
And believe me,
I misunderstood.
None of it made me happy.
I'm sure it didn't. All right, we're going to talk to Rich after the break. It's 9:12. Open Phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. pound 670 on your Verizon Wireless, whatever is most interesting to you, or you can just listen to interesting banter from Chris and I when we get back. It's 912 now at 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
917 now at 670 KBOI. They could have been popular, I guess.
Yeah.
KBOI rewards code, NOSE, N-O-S-E, as in I smell with my nose. Isn't that right?
That's
what I do.
Rarely do people sit there and say, I smell. So it's just, I paused for a second.
All right.
That's like, you know, the old joke, my dog doesn't have a nose. Well, how does he smell? Oh, just awful.
Just awful. Yeah. Just the worst smelling dog. Anyway, yeah. Go to KBOI.com, click on the rewards code and enter the keyword nose and get your 5,000 rewards points.
The nose knows.
918, as promised. Rich, my man. Happy Friday to you. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Oh, good. Hey, when Trump says something like, who knew that being president was hard, or who knew health care was complicated? If any other president would have said that, everybody would have a fit. But with Trump, you just think, well, yeah, he probably didn't know.
Fox News reports it by saying, wow, it sure is tough. It's so much tougher than it used to be. And if you watch MSNBC, all they say is, everybody knew except you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, but it's what I called about was that publicity stunt that he pulled the day before yesterday, where he had all the senators put him on buses, took him over to the Capitol, and just pretty much told him stuff that normal people were reading in the paper. They're going to stop responding to him.
Well, some of them did. Some of them didn't show up. Like Bernie Sanders wasn't there.
Yeah, they're going to stop responding to him at all, and I don't know when the news media is going to stop covering all of this stuff, because he just, even with his signing orders, he makes a big deal about it. But I mean, some of the things, he's trying to run the country like a reality TV show. I mean, he really is. These little publicity stunts like that, and I don't know. It actually kind of scares me that he didn't realize that being president was going to be hard.
All you have to do is look at pictures of people who become president and then what they look like 8 years later and all the gray in their hair and how they've aged to know how hard that job is.
With the exception of maybe Reagan, they all look older.
Yeah, I wonder if he understood that he just couldn't, all those promises he made he was going to do on day one. I just wonder if he realized that he couldn't just do all that stuff.
Yeah.
I honestly think he just didn't realize that the president just can't do whatever they want. That's why he thought it was easy.
Maybe. I got a cool story here, Rich. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you checking in on Friday.
There are lots of people who still like his plans, and they would still like to give him, obviously, more time than 100 days to figure out all this stuff.
All right. I got a new poll.
All right.
I always love this. This is from USA Today today, and it's Heidi Prisbilla. Nice.
Joel's... Why?
Yeah, obviously. President Trump's voters are sticking with him, even if they're starting to think he's not keeping some important promises. That's the takeaway from a new poll.
It's the effort, actually, that a lot of them are admiring.
Yes.
They said at least he's still on.
At least he's trying, yeah.
Yeah.
New poll conducted for Priorities USA Action, a Democratic advocacy group tracking the attitudes of U.S. voters about his first 100 days in office. The analysis provided to USA Today offers some insight into why Democrats in Congress may see little political risk in continuing to oppose the president's agenda. 67% of Trump voters say he's met their hopes and expectations. For the first time, a plurality. 43% say there are some important promises not being kept. That's a 10-point...
Again, what are we talking about here? Like 11 weeks?
Yeah. That's a 10-point... But I think everybody had the same maybe idea that Trump did, is that he was just going to be able to go in and undo the last 8 years, according to people who voted for him.
Actually, closer to 14 or 15 weeks.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they thought, well, he's just going to go in and just undo all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Affordable Care Act was going to go away, and the wall was going to start being built.
With the possible exception of George Washington, there hasn't been a single president who has arrived in Washington, D.C., and was greeted with, okay, we're going to do everything that you want.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Just over a third say he's kept all of his important promises so far. It's a potential warning sign, considering Trump's 41% overall approval rating, in line with other national surveys, is already historically low. But It's hard to do that because there's no Democrat that's ever going to say he's doing a good job. Even if he had been doing the most amazing job ever in their first 100 days, no Democrat was ever going to say they were never going to approve of him. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, yeah.
Just like no Republican was ever, no matter what Obama had done, there was no Republican that was ever going to approve of anything he did.
Well, okay. And we haven't gotten to the point yet where people are nonpartisan.
No.
It's been very partisan for the last 8 years, possibly the last 16, probably since, at least 9/11, where it's all about winning and losing for,
yes.
for your party. And sometimes it doesn't even matter. Even if you reverse positions, you just, if your party wins, you're doing great. But I think it would be just great if somebody would and like Labrador, okay, when Labrador came here and he had those town meetings,
mm-hmm.
The first one mostly Democrats showed up and he didn't agree with anything they said and they booed him and yelled at him and he didn't agree with anything they said either.
Yeah.
And so there were some questions he just said, well, somebody said, what am I going to do about this? And he says, well, that's not really the government's problem. It's kind of yours. Which, if you say it right to somebody's face, sounds a little callous. But on the other hand, if you're actually stating what the purpose of government really is, then it's not quite as callous. It's just kind of reality.
Yeah. And I'm just watching right now where President Trump has signed a new executive order to expand offshore oil drilling. Is that good or bad?
Finding oil is good.
Creating jobs is good,
I guess.
It's more jobs,
As long as
less dependence.
As long as it doesn't mess up the shore.
Yeah.
If it does, that's probably a bad.
Obviously,
thing.
That would be a bad thing, but
it wouldn't be the first time that a view was spoiled by somebody, trying to find oil.
Exactly. Mark, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Hey guys, good morning. Hey, I want to talk about something in the scientific world. People are just so immersed in their own pathetic lives in some cases.
Hang on a second. I don't have a pathetic life.
People don't pay attention to smelling the flowers, as you might say, and looking up at the sky around them. I'm not going to talk about geoengineering chemtrails. What I'm going to talk about is something that's obvious to the most. Something is going to be obvious to anybody out there. I've mentioned this website to you, Chris, and Paul, when he's been on, about a website that's the Earth and Space Science website. It's a fantastic website called The Watchers. I had saw an article going on 3 years back, 2.5 years ago, I think it was, where the Inuit Indians that have lived in Greenland, Canada, Alaska, parts of Siberia for tens of thousands of years, the Inuit elders contacted NASA not too long ago saying that they have noticed that the sun is not rising and setting in the same place at a given time of the year, and that it has shifted, that the Earth has tilted off its axis. So I've been following this, and I could have brought up last year, I didn't, but I did notice after living out here where I live in the same residence for going on 22 years, pointed out to my wife, my neighbors, that watch where the sun rises. Today, for instance, it rose over Bogus Basin at this time of the year.
Now, do you think that has quite a bit to do with what we call climate change?
Okay, now you mentioned that last week, and I called in. You said, and you kind of ad lib with Paul. Is Mark believing in climate warming or global warming?
Mm-hmm.
No, this stuff, this whole climate BS needs to be dropped because it is a known fact. You've had numerous callers over the years on the subject matter stated that the Earth goes through a process of change.
Nobody really argues that weather changes. They're just arguing what's causing it.
Yeah, Mark. Sorry, that was going to take a while, and we got to get to a break.
We do.
But I was just reading that article that he talked about. It's in Cosmos. So I'm going to read more. Cosmos.
Yeah, not Cosmopolitan.
Not Cosmopolitan. I'm not reading about 50 ways to please my man.
Yeah.
9:26 now.
I approve of that.
Thank you very much.
But you're not.
News with Rick Worthington is next on 670 KVOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KVOI.
David Allen in for Paul J. today. He'll be back with us on Tuesday, enjoying the weekend early. Chris here. Do you have instant messages? Because I have this article from CNN that I wanted to throw out there because I had kind of hinted at it.
Let's see right here. Let's go with Bill, who says it's actually not hard to compare our government with a reality show. It's a lot like Survivor, where the person who is most deserving to win and get the $1 million and the title of Survivor does not win. But instead, it's the biggest backstabbing weasel that wins. I can see a lot of similarities.
Well,
thank you, Bill.
Very good point. This is from CNN Politics. Donald Trump has been president for 99 days. In an interview with Reuters yesterday, it sounded like he misses the days when
he wasn't president.
I love my previous life. I loved my previous life. I had so many things going, Trump told Reuters. This is more work than my previous life. I thought it would be easier than later. I do miss my old life.
I don't get statements like that. I thought this would be easier.
Yeah, it seems
really
strange.
You just assumed that everyone who's had this job before you was just grossly incompetent.
I did miss my old life. I like to work, but this is actually more work. It's absolutely true that all presidents express privately and then eventually publicly
regret
some level of longing for the life they left behind or the life that they will return to. But that usually happens after, say, 7 or 8 years, not 99 days.
Especially the ones who are already wealthy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need this.
The truth is, and even Donald Trump might admit this is in his most candid moments, that he had almost zero idea what being president would entail when he started running for the office almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When he entered the race in June of 2015, there was no reasonable expectation that he would even sniff the top tier of the Republican field.
But you remember a lot of people said he's got an agenda, he's got some points he wants to make, and that'll be his whole deal. They said, of course, there's no chance he'll ever be elected president, which to a lot of people when they heard that said, that sounds like a challenge to me.
Exactly. He was seen as a curiosity, a celebrity calling everyone's bluff, who said he never could, should, or would run. Go ahead.
They did something one night on CNN, and they said, who don't believe in Donald Trump and can't figure out why he won the debates against Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they did is they hired a woman to stand in one place, and she was the Republican, and she said all the stuff that Donald Trump said, word for word.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired a man to stand on the other side and to say all the things that Hillary Clinton had said word for word. And at the end of it, you wanted to vote for the woman because she had wiped the floor with the male candidate.
Interesting.
Which basically, if you go by a transcript, Donald Trump was better at debating than Hillary Clinton was, not necessarily with a command of facts, but simply because of, just sort of a command.
Yeah.
But in this experiment that they did, it showed that the woman clearly won the debate when she said all the same things that Trump did. So
throughout the campaign, even as he improbably rose to the top of the GOP field and stayed there, Trump would always tell the crowds that being president would be easy and that he would solve the problems of the country so quickly they wouldn't believe it. Quote, together we're going to deliver real change that once again puts Americans first, Trump promised a Florida audience last October. You're going to have such great health care at a tiny fraction of the cost, and it's going to be so easy. It's, of course, true that no president is ever really ready for the job when they come into the office. That's very true. But Trump's understanding of the office and of the political process was minuscule. He had never run for or served in any elected office, say what you will about the relatively inexperience of George W. Bush and Barack Obama before ascending to the presidency, but they had at least been elected and served as governor and senator, respectively.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still a huge step up to be president, but they had Trump's experience in politics, by contrast, amounted to giving money when someone asked him to, and that's about it.
Well,
it doesn't seem like much experience.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, a lot of people, when they are running for office, point out what needs to be done in the country. And then when they get into office, they realize, and this is kind of the point I was making earlier, that you don't wind up in an office and have just tons of help from people. What you have is people standing in your way saying, okay, we might help you if you do this first.
Yeah.
And it's a long, long list that never ends.
So,
it's a very hard job. You have to juggle. It would be about the equivalent of juggling 14 bowling pins, which is, four more than you even need to bowl.
Exactly. I guess my question would be then, what is the next 800 days or however many days there is for the first 4 years? What does that hold for us? If after 99 days, he's saying it's harder than I expected it to be.
It doesn't mean, that nothing will happen in 4 years. It just means that, yes, it is difficult. We acknowledge that. And let's, try to figure out how to make it less difficult.
How do you make being president less difficult with all the division that's in the country now.
I think you try to bridge the division in some way so that you don't have quite as many people standing in your way of progressing however you want to progress.
Do you, and or regress. Do you alienate your base, though? Because there are Republicans who are like, I don't want to do anything with the Democrats. I don't want to be a moderate. I want to stick with conservative Republican values.
Well, my way or the highway isn't going to work. It never has, and it's never going to.
But if you, especially in a situation like this, if you have a guy in there who's always done it my way or the highway.
Okay, but here's the deal. Have you ever experienced this in your life? Somebody essentially said, it's my way or the highway, and everybody said, hey, that's great. No, immediately what you
people,
get.
People
is,
who believe in is, you do, yes, they will.
Okay, a couple.
Yeah. Well, obviously it was more than a couple. He had a lot of votes. A lot of folks like his my way or the highway mentality.
I'm not talking about the people who vote for you. Well, the election's over. I'm talking about the people you have to work with now.
Well, I would hope a lot of people in the Republican Party would be happy with my way or the highway, wouldn't they?
Apparently not all.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, Labrador wasn't. You know, Freedom Caucus said, and that's part of it. Freedom Caucus was further right, and they said, no, this isn't strong enough, what you're doing.
All right, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Trump's first 100 days, Open Phones America. Call us. We'll talk to you. 943. We'll talk to you next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
948, David Allen, Chris Walton here with you on 670 KBOI on an Open Phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Let's go to Bob in Mountain Home. Bob, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Yeah, very good, guys. Thanks for having my call.
Sure.
The only thing I wanted to say is, it's just like your guys' first radio shows. I'd hate to probably go back and bring those up.
Oof.
I appreciate the fact that there's a president out there that can admit when he's working to make it better, and he'll stand up and say, you know what, this job is a lot tougher than I thought it was, and I'm going to work to make it better, and he'll tell us that. Fortunately, he's not a politician, and he's stepping up, and he's making it right. So thank God for Donald Trump and stepping up and at least admitting the fact that this is tougher than what he thought it was.
So do you think, Bob, that he's going to be able to turn it around and find more success?
Absolutely. Hey, guys, you guys are fantastic. Were you fantastic when you first started? Probably not. I doubt it. So absolutely. I think he can turn around. He can learn, and he's willing to learn. That's the crazy part. He's willing to actually think about what he's doing and take other people's advice, and that hasn't happened in as long as I can remember.
All right, Bob, thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it, man. Have a good day.
What I like to say about when I first started in radio, I was working for a top 40 station as a disc jockey, and my job was essentially to tell people about the weather and to play music.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all the skills of a wind chime.
You were still bad, though, right?
Well, I was as good as a wind chime.
I don't like wind chimes. I will tell you that my first job in radio was doing country music on the weekends, mornings. Just awful. Just awful. I was just awful. Not that I'm any better now, but I was just awful back then.
I was on a station that played all 80s music because it was the 80s.
Well, it was the 80s for me, too. I don't know how old you think I am. Come on now.
Which at the time was a good reason.
It was 1980 for me, too.
Okay, that's fine.
But it was just bad.
All right.
And that's why I'm not on the air anymore.
The music was good.
The music was good
because
Alabama was just starting out, so I got in on that. Still had some Waylon, still had some Willie.
I had all
kinds of Sylvia was very popular back then.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her?
So it was Kenny Rogers. So Kenny was Rogers. Ann Murray, so
Barbara
was
Mandrell
Dolly
had a little
Parton.
Bit of stuff going on.
Yeah,
I hate country
believe
music,
me. There,
by the way,
believe me, there are people right now who are thinking you're old, and I'm not one of them.
Well,
all right,
thank you. U.S. economy grew 0.7% in the first quarter, slowest in 3 years.
Okay, that's...
Is that a weird juxtaposition for you?
That's probably not good. Is that the main stat that everybody looks at?
Yeah, the U.S. economy expanded at the slowest pace in 3 years as weak auto sales and lower home heating bills dragged down consumer spending, offsetting a pickup in investment led by housing and oil drilling.
Well, that means everybody had a great Christmas.
Well, to me, weak auto sales.
January through March, they didn't need anything.
We saw it here in Boise, auto sales. Well, and you know why?
The snow on the ground.
Exactly. There was 35 inches of snow. And
I mean, people were considering buying, you know, like Humvees and stuff. But
yeah, and tanks and and dump trucks and everything.
And helicopters, maybe.
Yeah. And, of course, you've got but lower home heating bills, which is strange. That seems like it's a juxtaposition between that.
Maybe some people.
Because the weather was terrible.
Yeah, maybe some people just gave up.
Maybe. Yeah. GDP, the value of all goods and services produced, rose at a 0.7%. annualized rate after advancing 2.1% in the prior quarter. The Commerce Department data showed Friday in Washington. The Meridian forecast of economists surveyed by Bloomberg called for a 1% gain. Consumer spending, the biggest part of the economy, rose 0.3%, the worst performance since 2009.
Still went up, though. That's good.
It still went up. But
I guess.
It's one of those things to where if it had gone up 0.7% under Obama, it'd been like, worst economy ever. Goes up 0.7% under Trump. There's like, yes, they went up.
Well, and the other side essentially just says the opposite.
Yes, exactly. 100% agree. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a mess. And I don't know who's responsible for it.
I'll tell you what's refreshing about Trump. And this is going to sound odd coming from me, but here's what's refreshing about Trump.
Okay.
He doesn't really get into what you'd call a debate with people.
No.
Okay. People say, this happened and this happened and this happened and you did this and this happened and this happened. And he says, no, it didn't.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Conversation over.
It's like Monty Python. No, I didn't. All right. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Or the Jedi mind trick or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the argument clinic.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
I paid for an argument.
Hey, no, these aren't the droids we're looking for.
I will tell you that in 100 days, I appreciate, and it sounds weird, and I think it will get tiresome.
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, I appreciate the way he's been a bull in a china shop, because I think Washington is a little comfortable in the way they do things.
I will say this, too, and I'm not going to say this because of ratings on a news station, although that's a good thing.
There
are more people who are paying attention to current events in the news than I think there have ever been in my lifetime.
100% agree. 100% agree. Dave, in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Turn Dave.
Dave, is Dave on there? Now you're on, Dave.
Okay, how you doing?
Doing very well. How are you, sir?
Doing great. You guys were talking about my way or the highway.
Right.
And kind of inferring that that's Trump's policy?
Yes.
Okay.
A little.
You need to turn it around and look. It's the Democrats in Congress right now that are my way or the highway. They're unwilling to work with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no middle ground.
Well, to be fair, though, right now the Republicans have a majority. So even if the Democrats don't care, if the Republicans got together, they could pass everything.
Well, not true, because in a lot of cases they have to have 60 votes in the Senate, and they don't have them. So it's up to the Democrats to come across, and they're not willing to do it. It's really sad, the stagnation we've got in Congress.
And do you see a pattern?
And how long we've had it.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that we've had it for 12 years, the stagnation, if not longer.
Yeah, and I attribute it all to the Democrats.
All right. All right, Dave, thanks for the call. We appreciate you checking in.
You know what I bet? I bet the Democrats don't.
Probably not. Let me get this on real quick. Dale and Weezer, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Good morning. Mark was on a bit ago, and it reminded me of last week I went up and spent a few hours in the zone that those contrails are created.
Yes.
And, you know, although we can't tell it, there may be as much as a mile difference in the elevation of those two contrails. And so I got to thinking about it. The airplane leaves that contrail with 4 gallons of fuel as it flies a mile. So I thought, well, what's a cubic mile? And that turns out to be 125 trillion cubic feet.
All right. I didn't know it was going to be a math and science lesson.
Okay, we're out of time is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm out of time. We got 10 seconds left in the show. Paul J. will be back on Tuesday. Chris and I will be back on Monday.
We will.
Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Rush Limbaugh comes up after the news on 670 KBOI.